would save me. I never would have imagined it would be Lola. Even though once before she slept on our living room couch when she and Luther had a fight and she drove straight down from San Francisco in 6 hours like a demon, back in the days when it took 8 hours for any sane person to drive down. Yet the moment I saw that intensely dark red hair, I knew it was Lola. Lola had come. And Lola would understand perfectly why a 17-year-old virgin going to summer school at Hollywood High would rather not go to the fucking East Coast for a month. Of all my parents' friends, Lola was the only one who, even though she was almost beyond her 50th birthday, was still LA enough to realize that you don't leave anyone with a smile like my new boyfriend Claude's for a whole month and expect him to be there when you got back. Especially once I showed her his picture, which I happened to have with me when I explained this to her at 6:45 a.m. And especially when I wasn't even fucking him before I left so he'd have something to remember me by. Bleaching my hair blonde and looking like Sheena, the queen of the jungle, which was how I looked, wasn't enough, tan or no tan. I simply had to stay in L.A. and learn how to go down on him. But I'd never learn to go down on anyone if Ophelia didn't tear herself away from the Westlake School of Music and her junky jazz musicians, which was her idea of fun. And Ophelia promised to tear herself away on Saturday. But by Saturday, I'd be in New Jersey. And it was something she had to explain in person. Every time she began even attempting to explain on the phone, we both cracked our heads on the floor from falling down and wept tears of depraved laughter. But I didn't need to tell Lola about all of that, I knew. All I had to do was beg her. Keep it simple. "You're here," I said, waking Lola up. "Yes," she agreed painfully. She'd gotten to L.A. at 2 a.m., "Please, Lola," I begged at 6:47 a.m., "you've got to stay." "Well, I..." She laughed. Since she never drank, she never woke up with hangovers, and waking up was much easier for her than it was for Franny's parents. "Stay with me," I said, shooting my picture of Claude smiling straight into my pitch. "For a month, Lola. Oh, please, please, can't you?" "A month? Why, I..." Lola said, her mouth dropping open, but smiling, still insane enough by her 50th birthday to think this was a good idea, basically. Besides which, she could not resist begging. "They want me to go to the fucking East Coast." "That's right," she said, "to visit Helen." "But I don't want to go," I explained. "I want to stay here." She looked at Claude's picture, her eyes widening. "With Claude." "He's a doll," Lola said. "Of course," I admitted, "it is touched up. The studio didn't like his nose like it was, but otherwise he's really this way." Lola pulled her reading glasses out of her purse beside the couch and scrutinized Claude's face with more objective detachment. I waited, not breathing. Of course, Claude's black wavy hair from being French wouldn't go against him. They all had black wavy hair back in those days, back when they were dancing and touring with Turetsky, marrying the wrong people. All the wrong people marrying each other had black wavy hair, and the absolutely impossible men had the same kind of grin beaming ravenously out of Claude's autographed 8x10 glossy. So surely Lola would save me and stay while I perilously endangered my future, wrecked the vacation, and threw away the possibility to travel someplace halfway decent and see a real city, New York, finally, which all my life I'd been told I had to do. For a bloodthirsty smile like Claude's, combined with how black his wavy hair was, threw the whole fucking East Coast into shadow. For compared with the trouble I could be in Hollywood over the next month, all the evil companions I might fall in with in New York just paled. In fact, that summer, if I'd been asked,